We could pray together, if you would. Father, we are thankful to be gathered together in this way. We pray that your kingdom come, that your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Bless us now as we look into your word. Father, we are hungry, we are thirsty. We need to hear from you. And we believe that you have in your word and with God's people that which we need, that we can be of courage and be prepared for what you have for us. I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you this morning, everyone. Now we can share together in this way and see what God has for us and how we can learn together. I will not ask you, as the brother did for the children, if you're glad to be here, if you'd rather be outside. It is a beautiful day. But thank you for coming inside and being here. The house is full. It's a good place to be here with God's people. We can go outside later and serve God. There's much to do when we leave this house to serve God in His kingdom with our friends and neighbors and God's people. Yeah, certainly, we bless the mothers. And really the question is, what is it that a mother does not do? There is so much. So God bless you, mothers, very much. Think with me a little bit this morning about encouragement. Is that a word you are familiar with? Or the living out of? What is it to be encouraged? Encouragement. Is that important? Does that matter? Are you concerned about that? We sang the song, Lord, Give Us Christian Homes, and rightly so, a beautiful song. But we can be a so-called Christian home, but are we an encouraged home? Are we an encouraged father and mother? And what about the children in the house, in the home? So this morning is something about encouragement or encouraging one another. And notice, again, it's one another. It's together. I need others. We need one another. And it's encourage. All right, so we need to be encouraged ourselves. But sometimes we think so much about ourselves, and how do I feel? How is it with me? And I wish I could feel better. Well, it's one another together. So we're here, hopefully, to stir up and to encourage one another. Maybe you're all encouraged. Maybe you're all full, running over with courage, and that's a good thing. But we'll pour on a little bit more, I hope, this morning today. Because there's a great need for encouragement in this world today. And it's not only out in the cities and in the towns, but it's right here this morning. It's in fact the brother or the sister that sits beside you this morning needs encouragement. The son or the daughter, or whoever you are this morning. So we could all raise our hand. And it's also all right to say that I am discouraged. I am not feeling so well. It's okay to be honest with our situation. And when we say, I need some help, I need some encouragement, then there's a possibility that someone will reach out and offer some help, some assistance, so that we can be encouraged. Let's not fake it. Let's not just be pretenders that I am fine, I'm doing okay, leave me alone. We can be honest and receive encouragement. All right, so this morning it's about encouraging one another. Being encouraged as well as receiving. All right, someone has said encouragement is the kind expression that helps someone want to be a better Christian. Encouragement is not only an expression, but it's a kind expression. It's a gracious expression. It's a gracious word. It's something that is said that helps someone want to be to grow and to prosper and to go somewhere for the Lord Jesus and for his kingdom. So we're concerned about that this morning today. And the rest of that quote is, even when life is rough. So at times, there's seasons in life. Maybe sometimes the water is quite smooth and the sailing, we go a long ways in a day. Other times the waters are rough and we're just hoping to not sink and stay afloat, possibly. Life, there's seasons of when life is, there's some roughness. All right, so we need encouragement. Are we encouraged this morning? We get to have this kind of effect on one another. This morning, now, today, to be an encourager to, you're sitting pretty close here with each other this morning, so hopefully some encouragement will rub off and spill off on your neighbor and the person beside you. We have this effect now. We can have. Encouragement is something you cannot do in heaven. Did you ever think about that? That is for now. It is for today. All right, so we need to be engaged this morning, today. Begin now. If you have not started, if this is not part of your life, your lifestyle, how about considering what it is to be an encourager? To be encouraged. And we'll look here in a little bit. What does this word mean? What is it for us this morning? We could ask the question this morning, are you an encouraged church, a congregation? Are you an encouraged family, a father, a mother? How is it with you? How is it with us this morning, today? Encouraged and encouraging. There's enough of people in this world that are simply takers, that are looking for a free ride or looking for something for nothing. Everything in life comes with a cost, so let's invest so we have something to give, to share, to bless others with. By being someone who is an encourager. Yes, having something to give, to share. This glass has got some water in. There's something there to give, to encourage someone who needs a drink of water. Very simple things in life. To give, to share, to bless, to bring healing. It's our life in Christ. A life in Christ, we can make much of that, and rightly so. But life in Christ, we might say, equals a group of people who are encouragers. Would you agree with me this morning? Does that make sense? Is that helpful? So life in Christ can be many things that we make much of. But how about the simple potential of being an encourager? Someone who has something to give, to share, to pass out, and also to receive. So life in Christ equals or is something about people who are being encouraged this morning, today. So a house like this is well filled. When we leave this place, hopefully we can all go forth. I go to upstate New York, Lord willing. There's other people that go elsewhere. But wherever we go, imagine if we all go forth in some way encouraged and refreshed and revived and inspired with something to give. What a difference we can make. What a difference here in this community. What a difference in your house. We begin at home. Sometimes we think, if only I could go, what we call the mission field somewhere. Our mission field begins at home, right at home in our own house. And we can begin to live in this way, and to bless and share with others. Someone has said people are hurting more deeply than we know. That's so often, and I believe that to be true. How many of us this morning are hurting more deeply than we care to have people know? So we need someone. We need encouragement. Relationship with Christ provides resources for healing. So again, our right relationship with God, it's not just so I can go to heaven, but it's so we can encourage people, so that we can bless others every day of our lives in some way, shape, or form. So God bless you as you go forth with this desire. There are resources to bring healing. Only an encouraged community will be involved in missions. How about that this morning? You might say, yes, we're concerned about missions, being involved in mission work, whatever we all mean by that. But only an encouraged community will be involved in missions. So let's receive encouragement. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He needed encouragement, and so do we. Only an encouraged community will be involved in missions. So as we're encouraged, as we're not simply living for ourselves, or, yes, receiving encouragement, and we have something to give, something that we want to share and bless others with in some way. A fruitful and serving. All right, for those of us who were at a wedding yesterday, the sermon the brother preached, if we still remember his title, I believe, Words Are Powerful, or The Power of Words. That's not my title, but it's something about encouraging one another. But again, it has to do with our words. Words are powerful. And he quoted the verse, Proverbs 18:21. You might look there sometime. It says that in the power of life and death, those two words, life, we like that. Yes, we want life, but what about the opposite of life is death? Life and also death are in the tongue, the power of the tongue. So the point this morning is your words have power. Your words have impact. The words of the mothers this morning, your words of blessing, of comfort, they are powerful. So testimonies, so children, we remember the words of a mother for many years. The memory rings. It's powerful. It has impact, not only for today, but for tomorrow. Your words have power. Every one of us, our words, impact. Proverbs 12:25, I won't turn there. It has something about a kind words. You might look at that, Proverbs 12:25. But the idea is it's a word of kindness. So if we expect to be encouragers, I suppose we had better begin and continue speaking kind words. Words that are kind. Caring words. Words of compassion. A great need today. Kindness, kind words. Proverbs 15:4 as well. There it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. That sounds inviting, does it not? A wholesome tongue. What is a wholesome tongue? Are there any wholesome tongues here this morning? Surely there are. A wholesome. Or it's a soothing. It's a gentle tongue. Do we have tongues here this morning? Yes, we do this morning, because we know how to behave in the house of God. We speak well. We speak quietly. We say kind words to each other. But what about yesterday? And what about a month ago? And what about tomorrow? Will there be soothing and gentle and gracious and wholesome words come out of our mouths? Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. So let's practice. Let's begin and continue. And in so doing, be an encouragement, be encouragers. Impact, and there's force, ongoing with my words. So many times it's more than exactly what I say, but how you say it. Possibly more important than exactly the words you say is the tone of voice, the attitude, how we speak, the look we give, the attitude we have inside of us. So we're concerned about that as well this morning, today, one with another. Today, let's avoid shallow words. If we expect to be an encouragement, a blessing, let's avoid shallow words such as I am fine, or given the message, leave me alone, possibly. I am fine, I'm doing okay. Think about, what are shallow words, shallow answers? How much do we let people into our hearts, into our lives? What is going on inside? All right, so shallow words. Shallow words do not encourage. Little benefit in shallow words. What about death words? You won't amount to much. Maybe some of us have heard those words. I hope not, as a child, from someone. You'll never amount to much. The death words. You always cause trouble. You're a troublemaker. Death words, those words hurt. They go deep. They're remembered. You're a failure. Have you ever heard those words? I hope not, from a parent or someone or a teacher. That attitude. Death words. Why can't you be, let's not say to our children, why can't you be like the other child in someone else's family? We compare. Those are death words. They do not minister life. Words of death. Let's beware. Let's be careful. Maybe there's a son who's trying to prove to his father who said those words that he can be something. I can be someone. I can be great. Many times that does not go well. Let's face the words we've heard, acknowledge them, and go on and be healed. Death words, they're very costly, very painful. Let's not speak words of death and condemnation. We have the opportunity to speak words of life, life-giving, words that minister, words that have worth and value. In the power of this tongue, life or death, we must choose. Let's not blame other people. The children made me say these words. If they wouldn't have responded in that way, it was their fault. No, it's my. We must choose, take responsibility. Ourselves individually. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication, let no corrupt words come out of your mouth. In other words, speech that is good, that's beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. We're talking about encouragement this morning. So our words, don't let it happen. Do not let it be. If it happened yesterday, repent of it, acknowledge it, confess it, and go on to higher ground, to a better way. That's a command from God's word. Proceed out of your mouth. Don't look at your neighbor right now. Let's look at ourselves, my mouth. There is a better way that God has for us this morning. But that which is good, to the use of edifying, that means building up. So words either build up the building, the family, the house, the home, the church, that community. Is that how it is? Are words neutral? I believe it's either one or the other. Words have impact. They are powerful. So we speak a lot of words in a day's time, in a lifetime. How many of our words build up? They build up. They construct. Constructive words. Fitting to the need, the occasion. Words that bless. God's favor to those who hear. Words of blessing, words that give life. When someone else makes a mistake, doesn't get it quite right, let's hear their heart. What are they trying to say? And try to understand and connect and share one with another. Words of blessing, words of life. All right, so we're talking about being encouragement to one another, to each other. We affect one another very much in so many ways. Freedom to allow for mistakes. Let's allow for some mistakes, whether it's a song leader and the verse, or whether it's whatever. There's many mistakes that we all have in life. Let's allow for some mistakes in ourselves and others and be encouraged. Is every word consistent with the purpose of building up? Every word that I speak, every word that comes forth, is it consistent with the purpose of building up? Is that what your purpose is anyways? What is your purpose in life? Is it to build up? Is it to be an encouragement? I believe it is. It's an opportunity. We invite you to that opportunity, to that privilege, whoever you are this morning. More concerned why, with what, with why I say it than exactly what I say. In other words, what's my motive? What's the motivation? Let's think about the motive before we speak, before we answer. What is the motive? Why am I answering? Why am I defending myself? Why am I saying what I am saying? Our motives, they are important. This morning, am I consciously committed to the welfare of others? A conscious commitment to the welfare of others, that others be in some way encouraged. A conscious commitment to the welfare of others. We're called this morning today to a life of involvement with others. One another together. Not to live as an island off by ourselves somewhere. Yes, it's all right to have some solitude, some quiet. Go on a vacation, go camping, whatever. But we're called to a life of involvement one with another, with God's people, with God's family. It's an opportunity. It is a privilege. It's a blessing. God bless you as you do so. Consider this quote. If I had my life to live over, I would spend more time encouraging others. Someone has said, if I had my life to live over, he or she would have spent more time encouraging others. So we have the opportunity today for the rest of our lives to in some way spend a little more time, invest a little bit more in encouraging someone else. And when we do so, we as well receive a blessing when we give, when we share with others. Consider Jesus Christ, his incarnation. He was in heaven. He was rich. But because he loved us, he became poor. He came to this earth to be here with us. He invested in us. He humbled himself. So to encourage one another, we need to humble ourselves. Humility. There's something about humbling ourselves. It draws people together. If you have opportunity to encourage someone, maybe the person is sitting down. They're bowed down. But sometimes it's helpful rather than standing up, looking down over that person as if though you'd have all the answers. What about coming and sitting beside the person? We sit with them. We get on the same level, on eye level. It can be helpful. We humble ourselves. We get down on our knees. Humility is powerful. Rejoicing with those who are rejoicing. Weeping with those who weep. It's about restoration, strengthening, comforting. So this morning, do our words come from a heart of genuine love for others? Is there some real love? The words that come forth, the answers we give. Sometimes we have so much advice to give, so much instruction. Do it this way. Don't do it that way. We give advice. We give instruction. Our ideas, even if people didn't ask for it. But does it come from a heart? Is there some genuine love? Words spoken motivated by fear lack power to encourage. If we speak out of fear, they lack the power to encourage. But relationship, this morning is something about relationship, relating together one with another. Here this morning and after the meeting and the rest of our lives. So relationship plus truth, it equals encouragement. There's the possibility as we have relationship plus truth that there'll be some encouragement in our homes, in our families, in our communities. There's grace. That's acceptance. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. But there's also truth. Go and sin no more. So truth, it gives direction. Grace, acceptance, truth, there's direction. It matters, the direction of our lives. Right this morning, encouragement. Listen, how quickly do we write people off, as we say? We see that person, that situation, they're a lost cause, never going to work, it's been years, whatever, all those things we say. Or do we find ways to connect? Do we look for some way to connect, to build a relationship, to share grace and truth? And in so doing, to receive encouragement, to encourage one another this morning. Right, someone has said correction does much, but encouragement does more. And I believe that to be true. Did we hear that this morning? Correction does much, but encouragement does more. So we need, yes, I'm not saying there's no correction needed, but consider with me the possibility of a word of encouragement doing more than a whole lot of correction. Encouragement is powerful. How is it with us this morning? Do I acknowledge others' strength or their weakness more? Which is the most? Every one of us has some of each. What do we acknowledge and focus on the most? This man or woman's son or daughter's weakness, problem, difficulty, grandma, grandpa, whoever. Do we focus? Yes, that does not mean that we disregard needs, problems, concerns. But what do we just focus on? And the point is, let's acknowledge the strength as well. Let's be honest with the weakness, with the problem, even in the sin. But also say this: these are the good points. And give honor where honor is due. That is powerful. First Thessalonians 5:11. And this might be the key verse this morning, if you will. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. And in my Bible it says in the King James, wherefore comfort There's translations where it will say, where use the word encourage. And if you look up comfort, it's consistent to use, it's okay to use this word encourage. Wherefore, comfort or encourage yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, I think that's saying a lot this morning for us today and for the rest of our lives. Wherefore, for that reason, for these prior verses, if you read this chapter, the Lord Jesus is coming again. We are children of the light. We have the opportunity to walk in the light. We can be here this morning. We do not need to live in shame, in fear, in condemnation as God's children. We can walk as children of light and go forth. And God has given us a work to do. We are not in darkness. There is hope. There is purpose. There is a life worth living today, this morning, and for the rest of our lives. So wherefore, for that reason, comfort or encourage yourselves and do it together. Do it with someone else. Find someone. Share with someone. Wherefore, comfort, encourage yourselves together. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that hopeful, inviting? Wouldn't that be a good thing to do and to continue doing? And again, we see the word edify, edifice, the building. Build up one another. Build someone else up. It's an opportunity, a privilege, a lifelong investment to build up, inspire, encourage someone else in some way. All right, this word comfort or encourage, it has the idea to call near, to invite, to beseech, to call for, to entreat. We're talking about comfort, to encourage, to pray. Call to one's aid. Comfort, encourage. So to encourage, it sounds like we need to get close to each other. We need to know each other, begin to know and understand one another, to dwell together. Our wives, our children, our relationships, to invite, to get close, to give opportunity, to call to someone's aid, to strengthen, to invigorate, to cheer, to enliven, to brighten someone's day, encourage. So many opportunities. Let's keep up the good work. It says, even as ye also do. And I'm believing of that, you as of you here this morning, that you know something, that we know something of what it is to encourage someone else. So keep on. Do some more. We've only begun. There's more to be done. Encouragement. Someone's used the illustration of a rope. There's a rope. You can coil it up. A rope is long. It might be a thick, heavy rope. Might be a small rope. It doesn't go well to try to push a rope. If you push the rope, it's not much success. The rope just... But if we pull, imagine a little bit of pull on the rope to give encouragement. And we pull, and maybe somebody will come along and be invited to... There's a pull. Every one of us has a pull in our comes from us. You talk with someone, you can pick up on the pull they have. What are they pulling, inviting you to or for? I think that's more hopeful than trying to push and shove. It's pull. It sounds hopeful. That sounds like a good way. To encourage, to inspire. Attempt to persuade, to urge, to spur on, to stimulate. That sounds hopeful. All right, let's do it now. We have begun. Will we continue? Will we keep on? It's a good thing to start, to begin, to be a disciple, to follow Jesus. But of more and equal importance, possibly more important, is how will we finish? Will you and I finish well in this race of life? Therefore, we're concerned about being encouraged, are we not? Because it will impact our lives, our families, our homes, our situations. Right? The world, there's a lot of fear and anything but encouragement in the world. The news, we hear the stories. It was I read a quote about it's about being a fearless church in a fearful world. How about that this morning? We can be a fearless church in a right way, a fear of God, the godly fear, a fearless church people in a fearful world now today. Okay, comfort, encouragement. Let's start by being a good listener. Am I a good listener? Are there any good listeners here with us this morning? Does your wife say you're a good listener? Are we good listeners? Do we know how to listen, how to pay attention, how to really hear? To listen, possibly listening, being a good listener is more important than, if you will, having all the answers, than being able, but to listen. Do we listen well? If we expect to give encouragement, we need to listen, learn to listen well. Hear. Tell me your story. We could invite one another. What is your story? What is your situation? Right, Joseph in the prison, he noticed apparently why the other inmates, the men, they were downcast. Their countenance, they couldn't hide it. There was a problem. There was a concern. Maybe he said, tell me your story. What is happening? What is going on? To listen. To share with one another. Ask, what is behind? We listen for what's behind the words. We speak words, we share, and we're listening. There's a whole lot more to the story underneath the waterline, if you will. We see the tip of the iceberg. But what is the rest of the story that's underneath? Maybe we're trying to hide it. There's a need for encouragement. Together, one with another. We get to live this out, this verse now. It's present day. This is right now. And it's together in community. This church community, imperfect church situations, homes, families. Why would there be a need for encouragement if we'd all not have any discouragement or any difficulties or pain or suffering or death in our lives? So there's a need for encouragement presently today. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, a few verses starting in verse 19. 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. It's an invitation, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Verse 25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But notice that word, but exhorting one another. Again, this morning, something about encouraging. Is that why you're here today? Is that why I am here? Is to encourage, to invite, to draw near, to come close, to receive, to have something to give, to share, to bless someone else. Exhorting one, not that's not a one-time thing. I did that yesterday. I did that last year. Well, guess what? It's again and again, over and over. And it's needful. It's necessary. The gift of encouragement. Let's not go about digging our own well. Let's come to the fountain. There's living water. We can drink. We can receive the Lord Jesus Christ. There is life. There is health. There is blessing in Jesus Christ. Right relationship with Him. It brings a security. This is who I am in Christ Jesus. We can accept ourselves, have worth and value and belonging, who we are in Jesus Christ. Yes, acknowledging there's needs, there's matters of concern, but remembering that Jesus sees who we are becoming, who He wants us to be. Will we allow ourselves to be encouraged and to acknowledge and say, yes, Lord, Your will be done. I will go Your way. Trust in Him. Stir one another up. Look for opportunities. So many ways. And in so doing, to live out of being accepted. I am accepted. I belong. As a believer, as a disciple, I have a Heavenly Father. It brings security, belonging. Rather than trying to gain acceptance by being good enough or performing, but as we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to transform us, becomes life-giving, and we are encouraged and can encourage and bless others. We could also consider Romans chapter 15, these verses 1 through 7. I won't read all of them. It talks about the strong as well as the weak. It's about who and what we serve. We serve ourselves or serve others? Serve God. Who do we worship? Do we please? Do we serve? Do we bless others? Even Jesus did not please Himself. He did not live selfishly. No, He did not. He lived to serve and to bless and for the salvation of souls. The God of patience and consolation grant us to be like-minded. Tells us to receive, to welcome one another. To welcome, to accept, to learn how to know, how to build relationship one with another. The basis of our fellowship is our shared life in Christ. So as we share life in the Lord Jesus, in Him, in who He is, and who we are becoming to be, encouragement, it comes. Our total dependence on God for acceptance in Him. All right, this morning, encouragement. There's a fine line between concern or control. It's not about controlling one another. Controlling, manipulating, that's bondage. We can share a concern, but let's be careful lest it is a control. There's a place to set someone free, to point them in the right direction. Offer encouragement. Let's be slow to speak. Think before we answer. We're concerned about encouragement. Be sensitive. Yes, we need to speak. We need to share about a matter of concern or whatever the issue is. It needs to be addressed. But there's timing. Is it the right time? Now, maybe it's in 3 hours, maybe it's in 3 days, maybe the timing is not right. We're concerned about when we speak and how we speak. The timing. Is this person ready? Am I ready to share? Have we prepared our hearts? Are we in a right frame of mind so it will be encouraging? Or will it come across as condemnation to the person who will hear? Let's be gentle. Truth with love. Speak the truth. But if we have some tears, if we're touched, what a difference that makes. We speak the truth. It's with love. It's with compassion. It takes some work to engage in this way, one with another, rather than just it comes out without any inspiration or preparation. So are we prepared for the situations of life, to engage in encouraging ways one with another? I remember someone saying that some of the worst counseling and also the best can happen right after we dismiss this meeting. So people get up, start talking, sharing together. There can be the opportunity for some of the best, if you will, encouragement or counseling or connecting or sharing or blessing. But it could also possibly be some of the worst. Based on what we say and how we hear and how we share together. This morning, it's because we value relationship with God, with one another, with the community. So we're moved to be careful. Let's be careful. There's a possibility of stumbling, of offending someone. Jesus spoke very strongly. If one of us would stumble or offend or turn away or discourage a young one, someone who is young in the faith, or whoever it might be for that matter, it's no small matter to discourage, to offend, to dishearten someone. Someone is watching you, most certainly. Every one of us, people are watching. How does this person live his life? How does he or she respond? People are watching, hearing, listening, considering. So let's move with carefulness, with consideration. Our words impact. Powerful, together, one with another. This morning, today, you can and do have eternal impact on other people. Does that get your attention? We can have eternal, lasting, lifelong, far-reaching effect on someone's life, either for the good, encouragement, or for something that discourages. Oh, I don't want that, what that person has. No, how is it with us? Do the words that we speak, is there some salt? Do people want to come back for more in the home, in the family, in the community? We have the opportunity. Words of encouragement. All right, Jesus, he said to Peter, I have prayed for thee. When thou art converted, that thy faith fail not, but that you strengthen the brethren. Imagine that, Jesus, he prayed for Peter. Jesus is still interceding for you and I, for every one of us, at the right hand of the Father. He knows, he understands, he was here. He knows your situation, the test, the trial, whatever it is, the disappointment, the past, the present, into the future. Jesus, imagine him watching, interceding. Will this brother, will this sister receive encouragement? Will she look up? The father, the mother, the son or the daughter. Encouragement. When we are converted, when we're changed, when we are turned the right direction, will we strengthen? So encouragement is something of strengthening, not weakening. Just pouring on some water, but it's to make it grow, not cold water to mock or despise another one, anyone. So Jesus, he invites us. He says, come to me. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He is meek. He is lowly in heart. That sounds inviting. Sometimes in life we get treated harshly. We are misunderstood. We are disappointed. People hurt us. There's sadness. We need to be honest about that, about our story, and own it and accept and process and go forward and overcome and be encouraged with God's help and other people of God's, other of God's people helping and walking with us. 1 Peter 5. I'd like to leave that verse with us. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. I think that sounds hopeful. That sounds encouraging. It sounds inviting, right? So will we continue? Will we press on? Will we endure? Many people start, many people follow Jesus for a while, but few people continue until the end, right? So we're invited to endure, to continue, to press on, to overcome, to be encouraged. We're called to represent what it is to be a Christian, to be a disciple, to follow Jesus, to share the gospel. We say it's good news. Do our lives look like it? Do our homes, our business lives, everything of our lives, how is it with us? Now, today, the God of all grace, that's the God of power. Grace is something of power. Grace is the divine influence in the heart, inside, and the evidence in the life. That's something of grace. It begins inside and it comes out, and in that person's life, he or she is different. There is some influence. It's life-changing. It is powerful. It has impact. Jesus, he is our hope. There's help for our brokenness. Let's not pretend we have no brokenness. Let's be honest with it and not live in denial and find grace and help, restoration. Who will care about my story, you might be saying. We hang our heads, we hide in the closet. Is it safe to share? We need to open up and acknowledge with God and God's people. This morning, are we committed to learning tools of encouragement? How to be encouragers? I would say it's a lot about our attitudes. What attitude? That's what we need to watch for in church life and home life, is our attitudes. The little attitudes, the expressions, I'm not sure how to describe an attitude. You know what I'm talking about. Attitudes, when dad is overwhelmed about the work and the business and life, and there's an attitude that is, it doesn't feel or smell or sound very good compared to the attitude of where things are looking hopeful and are blessed. Attitudes come across in words such as "I am sorry." Do we hear those words? "I am sorry. Please forgive me." There is hope for our failure, for the sin. We can say, "Please forgive me," and mean it, and have true repentance in our hearts. The attitude of "you get another chance." Do we have that kind of attitude in our home, in our relationships? There's another chance. We'll try again and again. And 70 times 7. We've only begun. It's a life of giving other people opportunity. We say thank you. Those kinds of attitudes and words, "tell me more, we're listening, you are very kind." That we need words of blessing. Blessing words are life-giving. "You're doing a good job." Have you ever heard those words? What do they do to you in the tire shop or in the place you work? "You're doing a good job, I noticed. And thank you." That's encouraging. It is inspiring. "How can I pray for you? You are a blessing." "What is your perspective?" We ought to say that sometimes and have that attitude. "I want to hear your perspective." It gives some hope to the other person. This brother, sister, dad wants to hear my perspective. He wants to hear what I think, how I look at this. Do we give our children the opportunity to share their perspective? How it looks to them, to allow some dialogue, sharing together one with another. Yes, what are your fears? What are you afraid of? If the son or daughter says, "I am afraid, I am having a problem," how do we respond? Do we say, "No, you're doing fine, I don't think it's that way"? It's a real thing to the child. They're trying to open up. How do we give encouragement if we deny what is reality to them inside? Yes, we're in this together, one with another. It's about encouragement. We won't go there this morning, but in the Old Testament, the children of Israel and God's people, their story, their history, through the wilderness of Moses and leading God's people, read the story. Numbers 13, 14, and in the book of Joshua, Moses sent out the spies. He sent 40, or he sent, there was 12 spies, 12 men. How did they do? Why is it that there's so often less encouragers? I mean, they didn't look very good, 2 out of 12. The 10 men, they turned the hearts of the multitude, apparently, because they murmured, they complained. They said, there's giants. Of course there were giants. Caleb and Josh, the two men, they said, we can overcome them. God is with us. It's about perspective. What is your perspective? Some people look at the giants, and it's hopeless, and we're just grasshoppers. There's no use. We're just going to give up. We know the story, and it's a sad story. So some were lost in the wilderness. They died. They lost out. What is our story this morning today? Where do we fall? Will we be with the two, the Joshua, the Caleb? Be strong. Be of good courage. There's an interesting verse, Numbers 21:4. Look at it sometime. It says the people, I'm not sure what it says, that the people were, the other translation says the word I want is impatient. I'm not going to look it up now, but the people, there was a time they were fussing, complaining, they were murmuring. I think the serpents came, God sent. But there's one translation that has the word, the people were, they were impatient. They were murmuring, right? So are we impatient? Do we get to be demanding, a demanding spirit? Murmuring, complaining at its death. This morning, the opportunity, the invitation is to be encouraged. Are we the kind of people that can help in our homes as fathers and mothers? Is it safe? Is it for growth, for honesty, that we can encourage and overcome and enter in to the promised land? It's for every one of us. May God bless you.